This is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Cecil Moran of Maeslick, Kentucky. The interview is being conducted on January 29, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David. Mr. Moran, now you farmed around this area all your life. Was your parents from here?
Yes.
What were your folks' names?
Ned Moran was my father's name, and Mullet was my mother's name.
And where did they, were they farmers also?
Yeah, he farmed all his life. Ever since he married, he started farming over here between Helene and Wedonia there, and he farmed there, stayed on that one farm for 8 years. And then he went down lower into Mason County down there, and he bought him some land down in there. When he died, well, he had 500 acres of land over in there. And he lived to be 85 years old over there. And I farmed myself. I raised 52 crops of tobacco. And I got to a place where the hard hand was taking all of my profit.
You mean with the tobacco prices going down?
Yeah. And so I decided to quit. And I've been just peddling around, drive a truck and haul stalk and stuff, and then work at the Flemingsburg Stalkyard until they got mashed up there. Big steer fell on me.
Now, were your grandparents farmers also in the area?
Yeah, they all farmed all their life.
Do you remember your grandparents at all?
Oh, yeah.
What were their names, do you know?
Luther Collins, and my grandmother's name's Sarah Collins.
Sarah?
Uh-huh. And they farmed all their life up in here around Maeslick, over here around Wedonia, and up Flemingsburg. He bought a farm up Flemingsburg, moved up there. And grandmother, she got run into the automobile up there in Flemingsburg and broke her neck.
When was that?
Oh, it's been years ago.
So when you were a kid then, farming was, did you have any brothers or sisters? Or?
I had one brother and four sisters. I got a brother and a sister dead.
What were your brother and sister's names?
Well, my brother's name Harold Moran, and my sister was named Dora May, and she married Bob Hall, and they farmed too, both of them. And I lived out here on Miss Chambers, out just out there where Dave McGibbons lives. I lived out there for 7 years, but she died, and they sold the farm.
Now, did you tenant farm for her then?
Yeah.
How does a tenant farm work?
Well, you farm on shares, 50-50.
Now, you put up the work?
Yeah, I put up the work. She furnished the farm, we go 50-50.
What about buying the seed or any equipment you need? Who puts that
well,
on
I,
a
I furnished my own equipment, and she furnished the seed for the farm, you know, grass seed, stuff like that, but I bought tobacco seed and corn, seed corn, stuff like that. But
now, do you deduct that then at the end of the year when you split it up? Or?
No, I'd pay for that there and my farm machinery and stuff. My gas stuff, well, I'd pay for that myself and then give her half of the crop and the milk cows, and she got half the milk.
You know, what I'm getting at, though, is say it cost you $50 to buy the seed.
Yeah.
Then when you go to give the part of the profits to her, would you take out $25
of
that?
No.
So it was 50% plus whatever you cost you.
Yeah.
Is that pretty well way all tenant farming
that's
around
all,
here goes?
Yeah, practically all the tenant farmers farm that way, you know. You furnish your machinery and furnish your seed for corn and biker seed and stuff like that, but seed farms are grass seed, you know. And you put up the hay and stuff, and you stalk and stuff, well, I had to do that myself.
And so whoever you tenant farm for doesn't really do any of the work, you
No, say. No, they don't do no work. You do work, and if you have to hire hands, well, you have to pay them.
So you really get less than 50% then,
yeah,
when it's over with.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only reason I quit.
Well, I
it's
can't
It's hard to help, but got so high, you know. When I was 65 years old, I was farming out here on Miss Piles, I was 68 out there.
Now, which Miss Piles is that?
Henry Melton. And I had five hands there, a house and tobacco, and it was all raised on a farm. And I had a big tall barn over there where I housed tobacco. I had to go on top of that barn when I was 65 years old and hang tobacco in that barn. And I had these here hands, and they was from 16 to 24 years old. There wasn't none of them go up there and hang top of the barn. And I said that night, and I come in, I said, well, this is the last crop I'm going to raise if I have to do all the work and give them $6 an hour to watch me do it.
Well, and the top rail is supposedly the safest rail to be on, though, when you're hanging tobacco?
Well, it's the best in the hand. You don't have to hand up, you know. One on the bottom gets more work at it, but they're afraid to go up there and hang because it's high, you know.
No, I'd be like them, but...
But I never minded it then, but I couldn't get off the ground. Now I ain't got no balance.
Yeah. Growing up on a farm as a boy, tell me something about it. Did you help your dad a lot?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. Well, when I was 8 years old, I took a team of horse and plow on the hillside when I was 8 years old.
All by yourself? Nobody
yeah.
with you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a hillside plow, and you know you got to turn it. And I couldn't turn it, and I'd get my horses out there and make them turn the plow for me to come back out to row, and sometimes get it under a rock. It's where a farm boy, when his boy is rocky ground, and I'd get the plow facing under a rock, and sometimes I'd have hook horse back in there, pull it out from under a rock. I couldn't pull it out from under a rock.
Good grief. And and your dad would trust you with a team? And
Yeah. Well, time I was 8 years old, I started working horses, and when I got up to about 18 or 20 years old, well, I broke horses and farmed with them.
What kind of horses did you all use?
These big perching horses, Belgians, big horses.
But one of those stepped on an 8-year-old boy, uh-huh. He'd be smashed, wouldn't he?
I've had him step on my toes. Yes, I've had him step on my toes. Yeah. And
was this normal? Were most of the kids your age at 8 out?
Well, there wasn't too many of them. There wasn't too many of them would go out this team of horses and plow with them. But my dad always trusted me with them, and I could handle them all right. Didn't have a bit of trouble with them.
What kind of man was your dad?
He's a pretty good fella. But after I got big enough to farm, he just let me do all the horse, handle the horses and everything, you know.
So you had a way with the horses?
Yep.
How many horses did you have on your farm?
Well, we used to kept about 4. I had 2 teams. When he'd use one, well, I'd be using one, you know.
Did you raise any livestock on the farm?
Oh, yeah, we had cows, beef cattle. We shucked all our corn in, cut it all, and shucked it by hand.
Did everybody in the family pitch in when you were doing
that? Oh, yeah. They'd sit in and strip tobacco. We'd all jump in and strip tobacco out. But it's a whole lot different from what it is now. They'd strip, pull it off now and stick in the box. We had to tie it in the hand. And it was a whole lot slower.
Were you pretty good? I've seen some beautiful hand-tied tobacco.
Yeah, he tied a pretty good hand. Dad wouldn't let put it on the stick if it wasn't tied pretty good. He'd a little bit particular about it.
Was he particular about all the farm chores, or?
Well, yeah, he's pretty particular. He says anything ain't worth doing right, but ain't worth doing at all.
think my dad used to say the same thing. Now, when you were working out in the fields at that age, were you able to go to school, or did you just stay home and help on the farm?
After I got a little older, I went to school till I got up 10 or 12 years old, and then when corn cutting time comes, I'd have to stop and cut corn, and then help shuck corn, and strip the tobacco out, and then I'd go back to school.
Were a lot of the children doing the same thing?
Well, not too many of them, and they wouldn't, not too many of them would stay home and help, but the big family, there was six of us, kids, and the mother, and then we had, didn't have no money to hire help, you know, so we just jump in and do it all, and then go back to school.
Did you have trouble with school going in and out like that?
Yeah, you'd have a little trouble, but I had an awful good teacher. She helped me out a whole lot.
Who was your teacher?
Miss Spidey Kirkland.
Out here at Mays Lick or where?
No, I was over at Pleasant Ridge School, just a little one-room schoolhouse over there. I went up here at Mays Lick back there, and I went up there in 1920 and 21 and 22 I went to school here at Mays Lick. And we lived over here on Milk again.
Did your sisters go to school, or did they stay home and help your mom?
Well, they went to school. Yeah, they all went to school, went through high school. All the rest of them but me.
Well, you were the only boy, right?
I was the oldest.
And the oldest.
I was the oldest boy, and I had to get out there and help to work.
What was your mother like? What kind of a, what did she look like?
Well, she's a pretty good-looking woman, and she was a worker. She worked out there in the field with us, just like a man. When get her dinner over, well, she'd go to the field with us and help whatever she was doing. Cut weeds out of the backer, and corn and stuff.
Oh, here's a picture of him. It's a little, your little short pants.
Yeah, well, but I grew that. Yeah. They said it's very cute now, but I growed out of it.
Oh, I think you're still cute. You were blonde, little blonde, tow-headed.
Yeah.
How old were you when that was taken?
About six, I think.
About six.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Button shoes on there.
High top. Oh, you were clean. they cleaned you up to get you all in white and little black high top shoes.
Yeah.
When, now, working as hard as you did, and I know farm work is hard, did you kids have much time to play?
No, we didn't have no time to play, only when the work was caught up.
What'd you all do for entertainment when the work was caught up?
Well, back in them days, you'd go rabbit hunting or fishing or something like that. For you ladies, we didn't leave home, for we didn't have no way to go, no automobile or nothing like that, you know. So we just go fishing or take the dogs and go out there in the field and run rabbits or something like that for a little exercise.
Did you celebrate holidays at home when you were growing up as a boy?
Well, no, not too much. Only Sunday, about the only day we'd have off. We never stopped for New Year's or things like that, old Christmas, something like that, you know. We'd take off for Christmas.
What would you do for Christmas? Did you have a tree?
No, not back in the early years. We didn't have a tree. My grandmother and them would, and I'd go up there, and they'd have a tree and have popcorn strung around it, you know, and different kinds of. Sometimes they'd get some little candles and light them and stick them out away from the tree, you know, and have a little light on them that way, and popcorn on them, and a few white strings and different things on there, just tie some different things on it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they didn't have no electric then to put lights on them.
Did you get any Christmas gifts of any kind?
Oh, yeah. They'd all get something to eat. Of course, they didn't go out for Christmas like I do now, you know, by and by, you know. We didn't have the money to do all that. They'd get us maybe a cap pistol and candy and oranges and apples. And Christmas time, that's about the only time we got candy and oranges and apples like that, yeah. You know. And so that made her Christmas. We was tickled to death with that.
Well, I'm bad.
Yeah.
What kind of meals would they fix for holiday?
Oh, they'd have big meals. They'd cook a big boil a big ham, and bake a lot of cakes and things like that, you know. But they had a big Christmas. Plenty to eat. They'd always had plenty to eat. We always killed our own hogs, you know, and cured our own meat, and killed our own beef, and things like that. We had plenty to eat, but we didn't have a lot of money.
Did it ever dawn on that you didn't have a lot of money, or were you just...
We just knew it. We didn't have it to spend, and we didn't go out and spend it. Now, if they haven't got it now, they'll go borrow it if they can to have a big Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that then back in them days. We done with what we had.
Well, did your dad come into Mays Lick much?
Well, no, not too much. He lived over here at the Mill Creek, or over here between Weedonia and Helene there, and he'd go down there. Mr. Tom Coyd run a store there.
At where?
At Weedonia. And Mr. Goodman run a store there where that knee is now over at Weedonia, and Tom Cord's store was down where that little film station built near there where he turned it to go up to the cemetery. He had a big store there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right there on the highway.
Yeah.
On 11.
Right on the left, right down below. There where you turn up in that cemetery, there used to be a very big store there. And then up there at Helene, why, we lived there, and I was up there in Helene a whole lot with Powell Owens and them fellas up there, you know. I'd go up there, and when I wasn't big enough to work, I'd go up there and stay with this Powell and them all day out in the field driving. They'd let me drive the mules, you know, and horses. And I thought that was a great thing, you know.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Yeah. I remember one time I went up there, and mother sent me up there to get my hair cut. An old man there in Helene named Leif Ross. And he took a clipper and just started and cut every bit of my hair off. I went back down, my head wasn't that big. And I went back home and my mother cried. I had the hair and she always kept it parted, you know, and everything. And when I went back home, boy, she just cried and went on about him cutting all my hair off. I never told him to cut it all off. He just took a clipper and just went right up to it.
Did your mother ever send you back to him?
No. No, she never sent me back up there to him. Boy, she said I ought to go up there and clobber his head.
So. Oh.
And Mr. Cook ran a blacksmith shop, and he had a boy about my age, and I'd go up there and play with him every day there in Helene. We knew Eugene Davis over there. He was a boy my age then. We had goats, and we had carts, and we'd work them goats.
Little goat carts?
Yeah, had a two-wheel cart with chaise in it, and harness to them goats, and we'd get them goats up, and sometime they'd run off, run under the crib. You had to fall out of the cart if you couldn't set up in the cart and go under the crib. It wasn't up over that high. And always, we had plenty to keep ourselves kind of news all the time, by guys, for he's always off playing and carrying on there.
That sounds like a good childhood.
Yes, I think about it now. Like these are out of running automobiles and getting killed. We didn't have nothing like that. I fell in the spring over one time. They took me out there. They took me out for dead, but Dad took me by the legs and shook me and shook the water out of me, and I come on all right.
What spring was this?
Over at Helene on Sterling Davis's place. I was There's Hal in the back there, and I was watching the hogs. Joe and Davis had hogs there, and they left the gate open, told me to sit down in the gate and watch them hogs. Well, I decided I need to drink water, and there wasn't no hogs there. I went over to the spring right across the creek, and water was down about that far, and I got down there and bent over to get that drink of water, and by gosh, I scooted on down in there on my head.
Mm-hmm. How old were you, do you know?
I was about 7 years old, and I couldn't get back up. And I reckon when I come up, they hear me scream or something. And Dad come running over, and he said, I'm just going down easy. Mm. So he grabbed me the leg and ran around and shut me up and shut the water out and wrapped me up in a quilt, took me out and wrapped me up in a quilt. I come out of it.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, I've had several close calls, by the way.
When you were growing up, did you ever, your dad ever tell you stories about when he was a boy?
Oh, not too much. He was raised up, his mother died when he was little, you know, and his dad and him bashed and farmed when he was growing up. He just stayed there with his dad in their farm.
What was his dad's name? Did you know his dad?
Yeah, I remember. He operated on down here, maybe appendicitis, I think it was. They sewed a towel up in him and killed him.
Sewed a towel in him?
Yeah, that's what I was always told, that they sewed a towel up in him when they operated on him.
Would you say his, what was his dad's name then?
Lacey Moran.
How you spell that?
I don't know. But I was about 5 years old when he died, and I remember. Great big fella.
Did your mom ever tell you stories about when she was a little girl?
No, they never told many stories.
What'd y'all do in the evenings after all the work was done?
Well, we'd go out there, the kids would go out there and play a while. And come bedtime, dark by, we'd go in and go to bed.
So as soon as it was dark, then you all just headed on?
Oh, yeah. We didn't have no electric then, and no television, no radios. And we'd go to bed and get up the next morning and get started again.
Did any of your family serve in World War One?
Let's see, I had an uncle, Hobart Collins. He was in World War One.
Did he ever talk about it when he came back, or?
No, he didn't say much about it. And then a fellow we had worked for, Bill Heffman, he went to Army, and Charlie Dugan's, oh well, they went, and they'd talk about it when they got back.
It didn't really affect anybody around this area, though.
Uh-uh. No. Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard them say it. They'd be in them foxholes, and they didn't think they'd ever get back. When they come back, they'd get talked about and say they'd be in them foxholes, and a bum falling around there and just throw dirt all over them. I hear them tell about the land, said we'd lay down tight to the ground.
Were they probably in France?
Yeah.
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 Well, Maze Lick has changed over the years a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, Lord, yes, it's changed a whole lot. There used to be a lot of going on here in Maze Lick, garage, shops, and stuff like that. It ain't sure anymore. And the schoolhouse ain't up here anymore. It's gone. Big difference in them. Mr. Welch down there, he run a store down there, and he had an awful business down there while he was in there, but seemed like the rest of them ain't doing no good in them.
What, Jimmy Welch, what did he sell in that store?
Where
Mason's is, right?
Yeah. He sold everything, you know. You go in there and ask for something, and he didn't have it. you go back in a few days, he said, I've got so-and-so, what you want to do today? He'd always, he had a full store down there. He had plenty of anything you wanted. A lot of hardware and stuff in there.
Was there any kind of store up where Kitchen's upholstery is now when you were a young man?
No, I wasn't around here. I was away from here for a long time. I was in a hive for a good bit, and I never remember the store being in there where the Kitchen is. And then building, well, Jimmy Welch had it, that store there. He owned that there building right there beside the Kitchen's, the inn building, you know. And he kept his stuff stored in there, what he couldn't.
What he couldn't put in the regular
store. Yeah, rugs and stuff like that.
Now, Mason's, did he sell stuff upstairs, too?
I mean, oh, he had that upstairs full. Jimmy Welch did. He had that upstairs full and that back room full. And then had rugs and great big stuff over here on in this building over here. He had an awful business here.
When you were a young man, was there any hotels in Mays Lake?
Well, I never knowed of any. I know Mr. Collins run a store up here where that little block building is up there. The other end of Mays Lake up here, and this, I don't know what that woman named me live in that little block house right across from where Billy Cropper, or Bill Cropper run his garage are, you know.
That implement store?
Yeah.
Right across from there was a store?
Yeah, there's a big store that burnt down.
You know how, what happened to cause the fire? Or?
No, it never, no, I don't think. I imagine overheated stove is what caused it to burn down.
Somebody told me between Mays Lick and Helena, there used to be a mill. Do you remember a mill being out on that road?
I don't
road?
Remember no mill being in here. I don't remember a mill being in there.
And
well, there's one that used to be a mill over to Helena.
Where was that?
It's right there. Right in the middle of Helena there. Right where that little creek comes down there on the other end of Helena right there. Right in Helena, there was a mill there.
Who owned that, do you remember?
I've been down there lots of times. Let's see. Mr. Dan Rowe. Dan Rowe ran it. Run the mill. We'd take the corn up there, you know, to have ground for meal.
Mm-hmm.
And he ground wheat for flour too, but he didn't bleach it. If he made biscuits out of it, big yellow ones.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's, well, you got all the value out of your wheat then, beat it that way. And that bleaching it, the cream takes out a lot of the strength of it or something.
Was there a lot of businesses in Helena one time?
Oh yeah, there was two stores in there. Blacksmith shop and a butcher. This fellow butcher done his butchering there and sold the beef around through the country, kill every Friday, and then he'd go out on Saturday and drive through the country and sell beef.
Why would people buy beef when they could raise it?
Well, everybody didn't kill a beef. See, they didn't have no deep freezing things back them days, and if you got a piece of beef, and if you wasn't going to cook it that day, you had to hang it down the bottom of the well to keep it for the next day.
Oh, people hung meat in the well?
Yeah.
Down in the water?
No, just down to the water. See, they'd put a rope on it, a bucket or something, put it in, and let it go down to the water to keep it cool. He wasn't going to cook it that day. And then you had to cook it then and eat it up. So they didn't have no deep freezing.
There wasn't any way they could salt it down like they did pork?
No, not in summertime. He killed right on every Friday. He killed a beef in the summertime. And people, well, a lot of them would say, well, I want a steak next Saturday, or they want a roast or what they wanted. And he'd kill, and then he'd just go around in that buggy and that old horse and deliver it.
Well, how would he keep it cool?
He'd pack it in ice.
Where'd he get the ice?
Maisel. They had ice plank Maisel. Ice plank down at Maisel, and he'd go down there and get couple 100-pound ice and mash it up and put his beef down in it, you know. Back then, he didn't have no refrigerators or deep freezers and things like that, you know. And they keep it cool, put hanging down the well and keep it cool. And then they'd get it to pull up out of there the next morning and put it on and cook it.
What about things like milk or butter or?
Well, but sometimes they had cellars and had underground cellars, you know, and they'd keep milk down in there and things like that. They'd strain the milk in a crock and take it down in there and let the cream raise on it. And they'd skim that cream off and make butter out of it. Well, they'd have to keep that butter in the cellar that way, and they'd take water and pour around over the floor of the cellar and keep it damp in there, you know, and it'd stay cool in there.
So most of the food then had to be either canned or preserved.
Yeah.
Or just eaten immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have no way to keep it. They didn't cook it. Well, they've taken lots of times canned sausage, you know. They put sausage down in the jar and then turn them upside down, let the grease all come up the top there and then seal them. And they'd keep sausage that way after.
Is way it after
good? Yeah, dang, yes. Better than these old sausages you buy.
Did she have her own recipe that she used?
Yeah, we had our own recipe. We ground our own sausage and mixed them, seasoned everything in them.
What kind of seasonings, do you remember?
Yeah, you put sage and red pepper and black pepper and salt in them. And a lot of people used mustard seed in them. I didn't like that. But we'd use sage and salt and pepper, red pepper. If you like them a little hot, you know, you put a little red pepper in them. Grind them up and mix them all up and then run them through the grinder where they'd be really good.
Did your mother, now she had her, I'm sure she had her own garden, didn't she?
Oh yeah, we raised a garden. She put up, she canned the stuff out of the garden and cold pack it and stuff like that.
When you say cold pack, what do you mean? I hear that term and I'm not.
Well, it's cold packing. You get your stuff and put it in the jars and then you put it down in the water and boil it and cook it in water. Cold pack it, they call it.
Did she have an herb garden too? I mean, you talked about her using sage. Did she?
Oh yeah, back then they had sage bushes. In the garden right along the fences in the garden they had sage bushes. And you'd go out there and pick that leaves all off and that and then you dry it and then you just have to rub it and grind it up, you know.
How did you dry it with sage?
Well,
it up or?
Well, you just take and put it out on a, lots of times they'd put it out on a table or something outside and in the daytime and then bring it in the night and it would dry up that way right after you pull them off in the sage tree. It's a little old bush about that tall.
About 3 feet high.
Yeah, some of them about 3 foot tall.
Did she grow other herbs like that too?
No, nothing home when horseradish, you know, back them days they made their own horseradish.
That stuff make your eyes.
Yeah. they'd take and put that on one of their egg things, they grit it, you know, off in there and cut it up right fine and put vinegar in it. It was hot.
Yeah. That wake you up.
Yeah.
When you kids got sick, did your mom call the doctor or did she take care of yourself?
We had the doctor, Dr. Phillips over at Helene. When we lived over there, he doctors over there, and there's me down in here with Dr. Pollard out here to Washington, old country doctor. He'd come, and then a lot of times they'd use them old silly remedies, you know, turpentine.
What would they use, turpentine?
Lard and Bixay and stuff like that, and make a thing and put over your chest with flannel.
What for?
When you had cold or croup or something like that.
Did it help?
Yeah, it loosened you right up.
What other kind of home remedies do they have?
Well, some old time people here had a lot of old remedies in. But I just don't remember too many of them anymore.
But y'all were pretty self-sufficient then.
Yeah.
But you pretty well, anything, your mom and your dad could pretty well do anything that needed to be done.
Yeah.
Has tobacco farming changed much?
Yeah, we had to set the most of it in by hand or a hand setter. There were no tobacco setters. And then we got tobacco setters and we set it that way, and then we had to strip it and tie it in hands, and now they put it in a box and press it in there and put a string around it, take it on to market.
But it's still stripped by hand.
Yeah,
is it stripped pretty much the same way?
Yeah, stripped. Well, a lot of them don't. A lot of them just pulls it all off from one, all of it off and stalk and put it together. You know, they don't sort it out like we used to. We used to make four or five different kinds out of it.
What kinds did they sort it out?
Well, there's the fines and the trash and the lugs and bright and red.
How did you determine which was which?
Well, you can tell the difference in all of it, and the leaves has come up the stalk.
So it depends on where it was on the stalk, what it was called.
Yeah.
Were prices pretty good when you were a boy on tobacco?
No. If you got 8 cents a pound for it, you were doing good.
And how much was it costing you to plant it?
Well, it didn't cost us too much them days, but you'd burn your own tobacco bed. About the biggest expense you'd have was a cotton. It'd be about $3 a hundred yards, you know, to cover a bed. But it'll cost you, they gas them and you put this plastic and stuff on, it costs you about $100 to fix
get
a back of bed. Now, 100-yard bed.
And when you talk about burning, what would they do?
Well, you have wood and put it on bed on where you're going to sow your seed, and you'd take and burn that all over and kill the weed seeds, you know.
Was there any other reason for burning it, or just to get the weed out?
Well, it loosened the ground, them ashes in there, you know, helped loosen the ground. It made better plants, and a whole lot better than this gas than they're doing nowadays.
That was my next question. You think that the beds were better if they're burned on?
Yeah. And your tobacco plants, you pull them out of a bed was burnt, you'd pull out a big bunch of roots on there like that, and the white roots up and down the stalk. And these little beds now, there's all these gas beds are so daggone hard to pull all them white roots off, and then now they got set there about 2 weeks till them white roots comes back on to feed the stalk of tobacco.
Now, when you say white root, is that the center root?
No, that's the little roots comes out on each side of the stalk. A little bit of white roots comes out all up and down the stalk.
How come they switched then? I mean, if you got better ones the other
way. Just like everything else, any way they can get by without work.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just any way without work.
Now, when you burnt the beds, after you burnt them, did you cover them then with a white cloth?
Yeah, you put a cotton over them. The cotton in cost you about $3.
What's cotton cost you now?
Well, last night I bought, I think you get about $20-some for it.
So that's quite a...
Yeah.
Was it a particular type of wood used?
No, you can burn anything on it. Most usually we cut the wood and let it season, you know, set it up and dry it up and season. And then we finally got the building burners with big rods, you know, and you hook a tractor to it, pulled up there, and you could soon burn a 100-yard bed, but one of them burners, well, me and hers burns 500 yards a day. Just me and her.
Now, would you burn your whole field then, or
just
the bed where you're going to plant the little ones?
Just where you sow your seed.
When you were a kid, did your dad save seed, let somebody's tobacco
Yeah, we saved all our seed then. You didn't buy no seed then. You saved, turned them out, just let one bloom out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd take the hull, hang them up and let that dry, and then you'd haul them out.
How many plants would you have to let go to seed in order for your next year's crop?
Oh, my Lord, it wouldn't take very many. For them, seeds is just fine. Putting your fine is dust. It's just a little bit of things, you know. And you'd get a tablespoonful out of a head. Just one pod there.
Wouldn't it be cheaper for them to do that today, or do they do it
today?
Well,
they claim today that you can't do it.
Why not?
Well, it's this hybrid tobacco. They use hybrid tobacco, and see, they have a row over here, male tobacco, and a row of female tobacco, and they claim you can't do it now, but the seed grow then, and I don't see why it wouldn't now.
So they use different tobacco plants than they use then?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just, I just think it's just the same as it was then. They claim that you can't. Well, another thing, they don't take time to fool with them seeds then. You had to cover them up with take a piece of cotton and put over them, keep the birds from eating the seeds out of them, you know. And then you had to hang them up and haul them and everything. They can go down here and just go there and get them a pack and go on to the bed. But then, they didn't go to get seed. They always saved their own seed. Well, I know when I first started farming, I had three or four tobacco sacks full of seeds, you know. Bull derm sacks. That's when they sold them then. And had a whole lot better tobacco than we got nowadays, too.
How is it better?
Well, it's more heavier type of tobacco, and it weighed better. And I think they kept a breeding this tobacco, they just bowed down, and now the daggone stuff just sticks right straight up, and then the tobacco went out, you couldn't hardly get through the rows. It'd be spread out, you know. Now they've got it so it just sticks, the leaves sticks right straight up there.
The leaves aren't as big now as they used to
be? No, the leaves ain't near as big as they used to be.
Did your dad and you grow anything else besides tobacco?
Well, tobacco, corn, and...
Now, was the corn for sale or to use for your own livestock?
We just grew for our own use. No, we never sold no corn. We just grew enough for our own use.
What, any other crops y'all grow, or...?
Oh, potatoes and stuff like that, vegetables and stuff like that, we grow them.
What'd you feed the horses in the winter?
Well, we fed them fodder and hay and corn.
Did you grow your own hay, or did you buy that?
Yeah, we cut
our own. Because perching will eat a lot of hay.
Yeah, we cut our own hay and stack it out then. It didn't bale it. We didn't have no balers then. Just cut it and put it out in a stack, and in the wintertime we'd haul it in, put it up in the loft, and stave them, just throw it down to them with a fork. Didn't have no balers then.
I've heard people say that a lot of are going back to using the horses because they were cheaper than having tractors.
Well, there's a lot of this hill land down in here and around, well, down Mount Olive, down in there. They've got to use a lot of horses down around in there. And a lot of them take chances on them hills with them tractors. But back on the night coming up, well, you've never seen a tractor.
When you got to be a teenager and got interested in the opposite sex, where did you meet the girls?
Well, they once in a while wouldn't have a party, you know, and you'd go out, and when they had a party, you'd go out.
What kind of party?
Well, they'd just have a little get together there and knock the food and carry on.
You wouldn't do something like that, though?
No.
No, of course not.
No. No, I danced the last night. Go to dances, I actually got up about 16 to 17. There was a lot of dances, not good dances. My dad, every time I'd go to a dance, and maybe I wouldn't get in 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't want to get in and get to bed warm, but he'd holler, "Get out and get them horses." And I'd go at the horse, and I could hardly see them. Walking around asleep.
Oh, shit. Where did you all go to church when you were growing up?
Yeah, I went over to Helene Church when we lived over there.
What church was that?
Master's. Over here to Helene, big church.
Did they have a lot of socials for their young people, or?
No, not too many of them days. They didn't have to. You went to church and that was it.
Was it, how long did the church services last over there?
Oh, about like they do now.
Not
too long. Preacher, he'd give out.
Do you remember any of the preachers over there?
No, I don't remember none of the preachers. I was about five years old when they was going up there. I mean, mother and them was up there Sunday.
Your dad wouldn't go?
He'd go sometimes. But he used to have a bunch of cattle when he lived over on when he lived over here at Low Helene. He used to have a bunch of cattle for the landlord to feed in. You had to feed their cattle for house rent then. You had to pay house rent and give them half, you know, and then they'd say, well, you have to feed, maybe they have 40, 50 head of cattle, and you had to feed them for your house rent.
Was this written down, or was this a verbal agreement between?
Well, it'd just be a verbal agreement, you know. Back them days, your word was your bond.
So there was very, very little in writing.
No, there wasn't too much in writing then. If a man told you anything, well, that's what you could count on. Most of them now, they was few, you know, who try to crook you. But mostly, whenever, that back them days, whenever a man told you anything, well, that was words to bark on.
Yeah.
But that ain't that way this day and time.
You're talking about your mom's folks that you go seeing. Did your grandfather farm by himself, or did some of the...
No, he had three boys, and they farmed with him. Well, one of them stayed there till he died with him. After my grandmother got killed, one of the boys stayed with him. He stayed with them, and they farmed together.
What were the boys' names?
Elmer Collins.
What was the other one's name?
Albert Collins, and his oldest boy was named Hobart Collins. He was sheriff one time down here at Maysville.
Okay. So one, usually, say you would have stayed with your dad and farmed, and the oldest son, and they would always stay on the home place.
Yeah, they'd stay there. Back them days, the boy'd stay and help his dad farm, come up most times till he got married.
And then what would the father do once the child got married?
Well, he'd get married and he'd go to farm for himself. Well, his dad'd farm right on.
What did he do? Have to hire somebody then to come in? And
well, my people most usually had a whole several kids. My grandmother's, I think they was nine in their family, kids. And the girls, they had...
Your grandmother Collins, you mean?
Uh-huh. They girls worked out in the field just like boys.
So there wasn't any division according to your sex. Everybody
no,
everybody yeah, pitched
everybody
in.
Everybody pitched in. Yeah, my grandmother sucked more tobacco than anybody I ever saw. Looked like her fingers run to electric.
What kind of lady was your grandmother? Do you remember?
She's a fine woman.
No, she was a hard worker, didn't she?
Oh, my Lord, yes. Yeah. To raise nine kids.
I don't know how she had time to work in the fields.
Well, after the girls got up big enough, maybe a couple of girls would stay at the house and help her do the housework, and she'd strip back her and suck her. Like that, of course, she never helped handle tobacco sticks or nothing like that.
Well, now, what'd she do? Work in the fields and then go in and cook the meals and then go back to the fields?
No, she had... The girls, two of the girls would help her. Well, they'd stay at the house after they got bigger, but two of the oldest girls would stay at the house and cook, and she'd go out, she'd rather be out in the field.
And keep house.
Uh-huh.
Did you all celebrate any, you talked about celebrating Christmas, did you celebrate any of the, like Thanksgiving or Fourth of July? Or?
Yeah, they'd have a big dinner, Thanksgiving, something like that.
What about the 4th of July? How'd y'all celebrate that? Or was it much of a celebration?
No, we never paid no attention to 4th of July.
No fireworks or anything, huh?
No, once in a while we'd go down to the store and get us boxes of shooting crackers and three or four little candles and sparklers. Farm up a little bit on 4th of July.
Did you all go to many fairs or?
Oh yeah, we most usually went to Germantown Fair.
Do you remember having any fairs over here in Maze Lick when you were a boy?
Uh-uh.
Or over in Helena or Wadonia?
No. Up at Ewan's, only one. Ewan Fair in Germantown's the only fair I ever know of here.
Everybody go to the Germantown Fair when it?
Yeah, most people went to Germantown, but they go in a road wagon.
What's a road wagon?
It's pulled with horses. Big steel tar wagon, and they'd pull it with horses, and they'd take their dinner, put it in the, take a big trunk full of food, and they'd go over there. It could start before daylight, and go over and take and tie the horses down on the trees over there. My wife's got to take Miss Debra out to the doctor.
Oh, am I keeping you from going with him?
No, I'm going. They'd tie a horse down there, tie them to trees and limbs, and a lot of them would pull loose and get the bridle off, and the woods would be full of horses when they loose down there.
And everybody had fun there.
And they'd go down to dinner and spread out a big tablecloth and put their food out there, and they'd all sit down there and eat. About 4 o'clock, while they'd all gang up and hit back for home for the night, and they'd get back in, horses, you know.
That'd be a great day, though.
Yeah.
What all did you do when you were at the fair besides eat?
Well, just watch them show cattle and horse races and things like that.
And, they had pretty good horse races?
Oh, yeah, they had awful good horse races. And then, I guess they'd play, throw them other monkeys and things and...
Do what?
Throw it. They see they'd have monkeys sitting up on shelves, you know, and you knock them off and they'd give you 15 or 20 cents.
Real monkeys? Not real monkeys.
No, what's just...
Look like monkeys?
Yeah, just imitations of them, fuzz around their face. And they'd call them monkeys, set them up there on their thing, and they'd throw baseballs at them. If you knocked all three, well, they'd give you maybe a quarter, and they'd charge you about 15 cents for three balls, and that there's just about, and, well, it just went more for gathering. They'd go to fire, well, they'd see people that they hadn't saw in a year, you know, and families would get together and have a little chat.
Sounds like it'd been a nice time.
Yeah. Well, I believe people is a whole lot more happier then than they are now. People are now is just a rushing and a running and a going and a falling down and getting up and they don't know where they're going.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, they're just in too big a hurry. And you take people in. My mother would load us kids up and go to her grandmother's. We'd go on Saturday evening and stay till Sunday evening, and then we'd come back. After we moved down lower into Mason County, they'd be up in Fleming County. We'd take a horse and buggy, and she'd load the kids up. Maybe all of us wouldn't go, just part of them. And she'd go up there and stay till Sunday evening and come back. But now, they run up an automobile and then say hi to him and take off and jump in that automobile and gone.
Not any real good visiting time.
No. People ain't got time to fool with you anymore. I've got cousins and things that I haven't seen in years.
But now when you were a child, cousins did get together.
Yeah, they come around. It's most time come stay 3 or 4 days around.
And when they come to stay that long, would they help with the chores too, or?
Well,
sometimes that they'd go out there, and I used to go up to my grandfather's, and I'd go up there and work with them boys. When we'd get a work coat up, I'd go up there for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, to visit, and I'd go out there and work with them, just same as, my gosh, they'd work, whatever they done, well, I'd go out there and work with them.
Did you like to go to grandfather's?
Oh, my Lord, yes. I was the oldest grandchild, you know, and they kind of spoiled.
How did they spoil you?
Well, anything I wanted, boy, they got for me.
And what would you want?
I'd go up to town or anything. My grandfather, he'd buy me anything I wanted.
You and your grandfather then had a real close relationship.
Yeah.
Who taught you to hunt?
Well, I just reckon my dad hunted before I got big enough, and then I reckon I followed him.
So it was just something that fathers had more time for their boys?
Yeah.
Now you pretty well stayed, you stayed in Mason County, though, all your life, haven't you?
Well,
you said you went up to Ohio, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived in Ohio for 17 years.
Where'd you live up in Ohio?
I lived over in Bentonville, Ohio. See, my first wife died over there. I've been married. This is my second, well, my third wife. And I didn't keep her over 4 or 5 months. And, me and Nessun been married for, about 26, 7 years.
How long were you and your first wife married?
18 years. She died of leukemia.
Mm. But she was from Ohio?
No, she was raised here in Mason County.
What did you do over in Ohio then?
I farmed. I had a farm over there.
How come you decided to go to Ohio? Most Kentuckians won't leave.
Well, the land was cheaper over there, and I was down in there on them there hills, farming on hill lands, you know, and so I seen this place over there, and I owned one up in Orangeburg first, and it's just rocky. I just want to farm up on them rocks, and had to farm the horses all the time, you know. So I want to get up and get my tractor and stuff and farm that way, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess went over to Ohio and bought 172 acres and a half over there, and I got my tractors in and stuff and farmed a little bit easier.
Did you and your first wife have any children?
No, I haven't had any kids.
You and she. So she work in the fields with you then? Or?
Yes, sir. My first wife worked in the field. Me and her, Rod raised 5-6 acres of tobacco, and me and her to house that tobacco and strip it. Just me and her.
Y'all worked real hard there.
Oh.
How'd you meet your first wife?
Well, first time she had a dog lost, and I met her over on the road and talking to her, and I told her, I said, if I see your little dog, I'll let you know, and went on, and then I finally just met her, and we went to going together, and then we're married.
She lived far from you?
No, not too far. 2 or 3 miles.
What was her name?
Mary Poe.
One of the Poes around here?
Poe.
Poe, P-O-E.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she related to Poe out here on Sardis Road?
Let's see.
Jane Poe, I can't think of Jane's husband, what his name is.
I don't know where they was any kin or not. Mm. It might have been a little bit.
Now your wife, what's Mrs. Moran's name? Your wife too?
Aldora,
yeah. Shouldn't have forgotten. Where'd you meet her?
Well, I went into Leo's. She worked at Leo's down there in Maysville.
Leo McKay's?
No, Leo's store. It was Leo's store down there at Maysville.
What'd they sell?
Oh, they sold everything, bicycles and all kinds of trinkets that away, you know, and tars. He'd sold tars and batteries and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's a kind of a chain store. She worked in there, and I went in there one day, and I got talking to her, and she lived out Washington. I asked if she had a way out. I was coming down to Washington. I said, well, I know her. Oh, I reckon just about all her life. I asked if she had a way out of Washington. She said, no, she didn't have no way out. She's her brother, her son-in-law was going to have to take her out. And I said, well, I'm going out that way. Take you out. And so I got you. That's where it started.
That'll teach you to get somebody right on.
Yeah.
What was Aldora's maiden name?
She was a Creek Wife boy. She married, see, her and her husband separated. She married a Pole.
A Pole or a Pogue?
Pole. He's a little Ken Booster out here.
Well, I ask everybody I interview this question. Do you remember where you were when Pearl Harbor was bombed?
Yeah, I lived in Orangeburg then when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Do you remember hearing it on the radio that
yes,
day?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I knew a lot of people was over there. This fellow lives over here on the Sardis Pike was over there, right there. He was a cook on there when they bummed him.
Who was that?
Ernest Murs.
He was cooking at Pearl Harbor?
Yeah. He's a cook there when they bummed him.
Everybody pretty well did. When war was declared, what did you think about it?
I thought it was a pretty bad job. I had a farm up to Orangeburg, me and first wife then, and they sent me a card, said it was going to have to go. Well, I raised a lot of hogs, and had 500 white-legged hens, milked a big bunch of cows, and I went down there and told them. I said, now the only thing, you just got to give me time to get rid of my stuff. I said, my wife can't take care of it, I just have to give me time to get rid of the hogs, cows, and chickens, and everything, and lock the gate up, so my wife can't take care of it. And so they's bored down there, said, well, my God, said, we don't want to send you to Army. Said, you're half feeding them.
Yeah.
And so they give me a card in that I didn't have to go, but I was ready to go.
I'm going to go back a little bit to the Depression years. Did the Depression hurt you very much, or were you pretty insulated against it?
I done a hell of a lot of hard work back there in that Depression in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, you didn't get nothing for what you had to sell. In 1930, well, I'd sell yearling steers, $15 a piece, and I've had fat hogs get 3 and 4 cents a pound for them.
What were they bringing before the Depression?
Well, you would get about 5, 10 cents a pound for hogs in before that Depression started, but they got down to nothing. You'd take a cow, well, you could sell a big cow and she only bring you about $15.
Did you have any money in any of the banks when the banks closed?
Yeah. I was, me and first wife was working on the house over there on Pleasant Ridge, and I'd bought some lumber up to Rye Bolt up there, and this old man up there called me, and the lumber was, my lumber was ready, and so I went up there after one morning, took the truck and went up there after, and I told him, I said, the money's tied up in the bank. I said, do you want me to take the lumber and give you a check? I said, they surely will open pretty soon. And he said, well, if it don't open, said, the lumber won't do me no good. And or neither, and says, you just give me a check and take the lumber. Well, they opened it up a little bit, Roosevelt closed them up, but they're just closing in on people, you know.
Yeah.
It's closing in on people and just taking farms away from the pastime, and he closed the banks up and said we'd get this thing straightened out, and then he put out a government loan and charged them 4% interest, and a lot of people that was just ready to, well, he was taking the farms over, a lot of them was just taking the farms away from people, and they had them just about paid for. And he said, well, we'll just close the banks and everything till I can get this straightened out. And then he come out that loan, and them people went and got their money from government loan and paid for the farms.
Were you owning your own farm at that time?
Yeah.
Did you have trouble saving your farm?
No, I bought that farm up there. I borrowed a little money down at State National Bank. And they never bought me a bit. Well, heck, I didn't have it very long. I worked like a mule at everything I'd get a job at when I was farming, had a day off, when if I'd get a job somewhere, I'd go work. And so I was up there, let's see, 6 years. I give 50-some hundred for that farm up there, and I was there 6 years in that depression, and paid for it. Me and my wife.
You were one of the lucky ones then, weren't you?
Well, I worked night and day, though. I didn't have no money to hire any help, and I had to work night and day, me and my wife. And I always thought that's what killed her. We worked just like mules, and then when we got up to where we could live, she took leukemia, and I spent $26,000 on an Emberger.
Yeah. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
During the Depression, did you see many of the people who were thrown out of their homes?
Oh, my God, yes.
Was there a lot of them around that
area?
Yeah,
there was a lot of them around up there, around Orangeburg. There was an old lady over there, they had a lot of money, and they let a feller have money to buy a farm with, and he had it about paid for, and she was going to take it away from him. So he went down there to the government loan and borrowed the money and went ahead and paid for his farm. He didn't owe much on it, you know, and they let him have the money at 4% interest, and he paid for his farm.
So Roosevelt, as far as you're concerned,
best president we ever had, I thought. A lot of them didn't like him, but I'd say he's the best president they ever had. He was a poor man's friend. They take the most of them, they go for the rich.
But he seemed to take care of the man.
He took care of the poor man. He said, to hell with the rich man. He said, he'll take care of himself. He said, we're going to take care of the poor man.
Let's go back 5 or 10 years earlier. What happened around this area when Prohibition went into effect?
Oh, my Lord, there was plenty of moonshine around.
Did you ever know any moonshiners?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew a lot of them. A lot of them got caught. Yeah, there's three or four were on Pleasant Ridge over on there where my dad lived at over there. They got caught making moonshine. They had to spend, I think they killed one fellow 50 days up in federal jail up at Lexington. And, there's three or four of them up there. They got caught the same time, and they give them 50 days and $200 fine.
Well, that wouldn't have been too bad, would it?
No.
I mean, considering what they were probably breaking in?
No. No.
So it wasn't really enforced that strictly around here then?
Well, no, they wasn't too strict on it then. Bill Mann was probation officer around here. Him and Steve Manning down here at Madel, he just died here a week or so ago. They were probation men. And Steve Manning shot a fella down here at the old liver stable down there, right the other side of Ed's place there.
In Maze Lick?
Yeah. He shot him down there. He was he shot him through a mistake. He thought it was somebody else, and they, it was after night, you know, and he come around the stable, and this feller stepped out, and he thought it was this other, and he thought it was Joshua Camel. He shot Joshua Camel, and he thought it was another feller, and this other feller, he thought it was going to, he said if he ever got sight of Steve, he's going to shoot him, and he just thought that Joshua Camel come down through there, and he just shot him through the stomach.
Who was the other guy?
I don't remember who that other guy was. He was, Steve was afraid of him. He knowed he'd shoot him. And he made a mistake and shot this other fellow.
What'd they do to him for it?
They never done nothing. He's a probation man. They never done nothing with him.
You know what year that was?
No, Lord, no. It was back then or a long time ago.
We have any other shootings in Mays Lake that you ever heard of?
Yeah, the fellow running up there, a filling station up there above the post office. This sir, oh, fellow over here lives over here in Fleming County now. He shot him.
But who shot who?
See, I can't think of his name. I can't think of his name now. I know the fellow too, but he went in there one day drunk and just up with a gun and shot that fella.
Shot the guy that owned the filling station?
Yeah.
You don't remember who owned the filling station?
No, I don't know. That's when I was in a high when that happened. And I didn't know.
Mays Lake's, on the whole, though, has been a pretty peaceful little town, hasn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it hasn't been too bad.
Now, the home you live in here is beautiful. Is this... Did you buy this from someone else?
Yeah,
or
I bought
this?
It from Pat Stanton.
It's an old home. Do you know anything about it, how old it is?
Well, Miss, I suppose works over here at the store, Betty Mason, she said it's about over 100 years old.
That's a pretty home. I've passed it. Always thought how lovely a home you had here. You've lived here how long?
It'll be about 8 years in October, 1st of October.
How come you moved to Mays Lake?
Well, you see, I was sick and had to be operated on. And they took me down there and took 70% of my stomach out, and I never thought I'd ever be able to farm anymore. And I wanted a little farm where you'd have some meat hogs and a little milk cow and my dogs, and so I didn't think I'd ever be able to take care of it. So this house was sale, and I come up here and bought it. Damn, I've done a lot of work on this house. I had old gutters in it, and I took them all off and put lead troughs, drained the water away from the house, and this seal, and I put all this in here. We papered it.
That's a pretty home. Now, Dora said her son goes coon hunting. Do you ever go coon hunting with him?
No, not for more. I can't walk. I can't walk.
You used to like to coon hunt?
Oh, yeah. I used to coon hunt all the time.
I used to when I was a kid.
You did?
Uh-huh. In Missouri. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is.
Whether you get a coon or not, doesn't matter, does it?
No. No, I used to coon hunt all the time when I was young and had dogs where I was married. I had two dogs that I'd hunt of a night and myself.
You ever had much luck or just go out and
hunt? I had two good dogs. I'd catch coons.
What'd you do with them after you got them?
I skin them and sell them.
Who'd you sell the skins to?
I shipped them to Sears and Roebuck and Hill Brothers.
How much would they give you for a pelt?
Well, I have sold minks as high as $35 and sold coons as high as $15.
I didn't know we had mink around here at one time.
Oh, yeah, mink. There's plenty of minks here. Heck, they're down to get along these streets. There's a lot of minks.
So did you run a trap?
Yeah, line? I used to trap. Yeah, I used to trap. Well, I'd make more, heck, we'd get through stripping tobacco before I left home. I'd make more money trapping and catching furs, muskrats, and coons, and minks, and stuff. and get out of the tobacco.
Now, would you cure them or just?
Oh, yeah, I'd skin them and hang them up and let them dry, and then I'd pack them and ship them to Hill Brothers or Sears and Roebuck or some of them places that bought fur, you know.
Did you ever make anything out of the fur, or you always just sent the raw skins on?
I just sent them raw skins on and got that money.
What would you do with that money?
Well, back in the days, you use it.
I didn't, I never dawned on me about mink. Was a raccoon, yeah. Did you get rabbit pelts and stuff?
Yeah. We didn't, I sold rabbits, so you sold a whole rabbit. You just take his entrails out and take him over to Jimtown over there, and you got 20 cents a piece for him.
Now, where's Jimtown?
That's over on Salem Ridge over here. You go to Germantown.
I'm drawing a blank where that is.
Well, you go down here and go down, like you're going, you ever old slip up over here?
Yeah.
Well, the road there turns off of a Harold Kirkash store, this first store, as you go down there, and you go across that and go across the right straight on that road, and it'll take you right in Germantown. And he put a big store up there. Oh, he had an awful business. Well, you go there and buy your clothes, anything you wanted, well, you go there and get it, you know.
So, and that was called Jimtown.
He'd call it Jimtown.
Why Jimtown? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't have no idea why they call it.
Why they call it Slip Up?
Well, I don't know that either.
That always sounds so funny.
Yeah.
To hear somebody talk about Slip Up.
Yeah.
Now, Wadonia, Wadonia to me is just the one store. Was there ever, and you said there was another store in Wadonia.
Oh, yeah, there's another store over there. There's another big store over there.
Was that all that was in Wadonia then?
Yeah.
Too?
That's just them two stores.
Wonder where they got.
I don't know. It's on the road map.
Yeah, I know it is. And Helena. Now, there used to be a railroad depot at Helena, wasn't there?
Well, Helena Station over here. You just railroad you cross going
yeah.
towards Flemingsburg.
Where was the railroad depot?
It was there where that house is.
The little white house
yeah,
that sits right on the other side of the track?
Yeah. And then they was a post office there and grocery store in there. After they moved the post office out there, there was a grocery store in there. And then the...
Now, were there houses all the way on down into Helena, or was that always
just
farmland?
No, that's farmland there. No, it's just...
There wasn't anything else over there?
Uh-huh.
When you were growing up, do you remember anybody that really stuck in your mind, either a man or a woman, that made an impression on you as a kid?
Well, no, I reckon not. Only.
Or any characters?
No, I can't think of any.
You really had a pretty good childhood, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, had it rough after I got up and got out on my own.
Wasn't like being at home with Mom and Dad, was it?
No, I had so much sickness, and I've been sick myself so daggone much, and been operated on three times. And then my first wife, she was sick. And then the last wife, she was sick here for good bit.
Aldora?
Yeah. She had cancer of the neck of the uterus. And I thought, after we married and that come up, I thought, well, I'm going right through the same road I went down before.
Yeah. Would make you think that.
Yeah.
She seems fine though.
Oh yeah, she does fine. She goes up for a checkup every 6 months, and the doctor says she's fine now.
That's great. That's always good news.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Moran, I thank you for talking to me.
Yeah.
Especially since you weren't expecting me.